with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Whoa, huge show for a Monday. It is Josiah and Herbie here. Hope you had a great weekend. If you are listening to this just after the weekend, had a bit of a naughty message come through to my Instagram, didn't I?
You did indeed. Someone is a fan of yours and they'd love your assistance.
I learnt a new word, which I asked you help me to explain what it was. It was dominatrix.
Surprised you didn't know about that word.
Yeah, well, I'm an innocent
I've read
mind.
Your diaries and it sounds like you may know that word.
You've seen my DVD collection as well and they're all 50 Shades of Grey.
So it is interesting to see what that girl
I've actually never
you.
Seen 50 Shades. Is it any good?
Oh, I wouldn't waste your time.
Yeah, I don't get
the
it.
The books, if you want like some...
No, I don't.
Like, it's erotic? Is that erotic novels? It actually can get you going a little bit
could
in terms
get,
of
I don't want to, though.
Engaged.
No, I'm
but
all right.
But the show, no.
Thanks for asking, but I'm fine.
Look, we also spoke about foods that have expired that you found in your pantries and which animals have hurt you.
That's right. We did do that. Feels like so long ago
poor
now.
Cow stomping.
I reckon this is one of the most unbelievable stories I've heard in a while, how coronavirus helped that family that you told.
We keep saying that it's such a negative thing that's hit this world. Well, if it hadn't hit this world, maybe it wouldn't have actually helped this family.
Yeah, good point. Plus, my war with a dog on Instagram is finally over. They put the dog down. No, just joking, just joking.
You will. That's your next move.
Well, yeah, when you hear what happens, I may as well have. But enjoy the catch-up. You'll hear it all in there. We'll speak to you tomorrow.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Now, at the moment, we are living through a crazy time. It's a pandemic. Not many people could believe that we're living through what we are. It's bonkers to think. And then when we open any newspaper, if you open the internet up, it's always... negative things, like how this pandemic has affected us negatively.
We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Life's not going to go back to the same. No travel for 20 years. Shut up.
You and I have even struggled some days to go, how can we find a positive story? How can we talk about something different than the COVID-19 crisis? And I found a story this morning, which I think is a great one to show that good things can happen throughout bad situations. So over in Kentucky, a woman was due to give birth and she went to the hospital on May 8th, but a doctor told her, you're not in labour yet. This is just initial stages. I've never been in that situation, but you're not in it yet, so don't panic. So she was sent home, which I know is a common thing. People do get sent home and then you come back.
Did she go through the drive-thru on the way home?
No, she didn't.
The home of KFC. Man.
So she went home and she was with her partner and later that night she's gone, oh no, things have gotten a lot more intense in the stomach. I think this might actually be on now. So they're on the way to the hospital and she realises, no, we're not going to make it. So the husband's now on the phone to 911 or 000 and he's getting some advice saying, I think she's going into labour. I think she might actually give birth. And so they end up pulling over. And so they're on the way to the hospital, not there yet, and she does give birth on the side of the road. And how COVID-19 has helped this situation is because they needed something to tie off the umbilical cord to their new baby boy. And they're looking around, both of them were slides, so they didn't have a shoelace, they didn't have a belt, they didn't have anything. But what they did have was a face mask. And
no
so
way.
The husband Yuck. Grabbed his wife's face mask and they used that to tie off the umbilical cord, which has actually helped the baby.
And it all worked out okay?
All worked out fine.
Oh, that makes my stomach turn.
But isn't it a great story? If it wasn't for COVID-19, she wouldn't have been wearing a face mask. And who knows what would have happened?
Unbelievable story, yeah. So what, they used the string?
The string was a homemade face mask and they used the string and just tied it around the umbilical cord. Boom.
You know I've got a weak stomach. I visualise that happening. I think that hernia in my little belly button at the moment, that just started twitching.
Well, come over here, I've got a face mask.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
A lot of people, while in isolation at the moment, are giving their house a bit of a tidy up. They're going through their wardrobe, old things that maybe they've put on the back burner. You know, I'll get to that soon. But now because they've been forced to stay indoors, they go... That soon is now. I've got to do it. And I know there's still people trying to fight with the soon. They're like, oh, I can push it out a bit longer.
I wish I had the time to do it, but I've been too busy watching Netflix. So,
which is a common excuse for many people. But lots of people have taken to their cupboards and their pantries to go through the old items in there and give it a bit of a clear out. And those who've done so actually have shared some of their findings on a blog feed. It's called Bored Panda. And then it's blown up so much that Twitter's grabbed some of these items and gone, these aren't just oldies. These are vintage products.
Yeah, but some people still like to take the risk, even if they're out of date, going, you know what, the more vintage, they're like a fine wine. They only get better with time.
Some of these may be fine wines. Some definitely not. Now, there's one that is I'm interested in, and I reckon I would actually try it. The Baileys Original Irish Cream, so the alcoholic beverage Baileys. One's been found, and that was from December 99.
Whoa, I'd be willing to have a crack, I reckon. Anything with alcohol in it, I feel like, lasts a bit longer.
It kills it, but it also has, like, milk in it. It's a milky...
It is, isn't it? Good point.
It's probably not the one you'd want.
Irish cream, yeah, good point.
Interesting one. Dried Italian herbs, they're from 92. Do herbs even... It'll go off, though.
It's 28 years. Yeah, they probably don't. It's a good point, especially when they're confined to a small container. However, are you willing to give it a risk?
A Pepsi can from 1976.
That's worth a bit of
that's
coin.
That's a vintage item now. That I reckon you could get some money for. A Christmas pudding, which are supposed to be kept for a while. That's from November 98. I mean, would you have a crack at that Christmas pudding if your nan brought it out and said, Josiah, I made this one a few years back. It's ready now.
It'd be one of those ones, if you offer me, I'll give you $20 if you eat it, I'd do it. But other than that, there's no chance I'm tucking in.
20, very cheap. And this one, I've got a lot of question marks around it because I didn't even know it was an item to start with. Pineapple cream cheese.
Oh, sounds delicious.
From 1982.
Yeah, wouldn't eat it. Unless it's like a blue cheese, the mouldier the better.
Why is pineapple cream cheese a thing to start with?
Good point.
It obviously got outdated back in 82. Surely that's not going to be looking pretty when you peel back the lid of that one.
My question to all these people and anyone listening this morning that keeps these things for so long is why?
But also, I think there's people who don't realise they've kept it. Because my dad, he was clearing out the pantry over the weekend and I was speaking to him about this story and he said, oh, a similar thing happened here. He found a curry paste, a red curry paste, and that was from 2002. But it was just in the jars where all the sauces are. So he's like, never really cleaned it out. Now I have.
Wayno, what are you using it for? Does he throw it in the bin or does he keep it and chuck it on tonight's dinner?
He chucked it out, thankfully. Otherwise, he'd be getting chucked out, I reckon.
The other thing is, like, to that old lady that kept that cake, that grandma, what are you doing with it? Are you saving it for a rainy day? Are you saving it for a pandemic where we may run out of food like right now? Like, what are you saving it for?
So we wanted to open up to you guys this morning. Maybe you have done a bit of a clean out of your pantry throughout isolation and you found something ancient. The older, the better in this situation. We want you to get involved. Give us a call, 13 12 16.
I put some pepper on my slow roast the other night. Yes, I am an excellent chef, Herbie. And when I was putting the pepper from the cupboard in, Morgan, my roommate, goes, I wouldn't be putting that on there. I was like, why not? It's your pepper. She goes, yeah, I had that from my last house. She hasn't lived in the last house for 5 years.
It's a long time. Although it's pepper.
You reckon it's all right?
Pepper's going off.
It's still 5 years. It's when the label looks a bit weathered. That's when I get a bit worried.
Can't tell what it is anymore.
it might not have even been pepper. It's meant to be salt. Susan Kyle this morning, how out of date was the food that you found, Sue?
I don't actually know the actual date because I couldn't read it, but it was tomato sauce that was brown.
It's not meant to be brown, is it?
No, it's meant to be red. It would have been at least 20 years old.
Oh. So you basically turned your tomato sauce into barbecue sauce.
Well, I'm so creative, yeah.
Did anyone give it a crack? Did you have a taste, Sue?
No. It just didn't look right. And it was really old packaging too, so I thought, oh, God.
Did you try poisoning your husband with it, Sue, or not? Well, let's move on now to Donna in Maroochydore. How out of date was the food you found?
Okay, so my fiancé just keeps everything. And we found a can of soup that was just under 15 years out of date. He said it'll be still fine. And I said, no. I said, open it. And he opened it and it went in the bin.
Oh, what did it smell like?
Disgusting. Oh, it was rank. But having said that, he will cook a roast on a Sunday. When I go there, I don't need anything unless I've seen it before it's been cooked. He'll cook a roast, use the meat for his sandwiches for the 4-5 days. Then on a Friday night, he might make it into fritters, and then it's like it's been reborn again for another week.
Sounds like a keeper, Donna.
He's a smart man. Oh,
he is a wonderful person, but, yeah, just check your fridge before, yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, thanks for your call, Donna. Don't ever leave him go. Let him go.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
A couple of weeks ago, we launched a challenge against you and a dog. So your best mate, Chad, he's got a little greyhound. It's like a miniature greyhound, the best way to describe it for those people
who don't
know dogs.
It's an Italian greyhound, so they are literally miniature greyhounds. He bought it at the start of January, so it's still a pup.
And its name's Billy, Billy the Iggy, if you want to follow it on Instagram.
Don't.
And the point of this is that Chad created an Instagram account for the dog purely to get more followers than you, because we know you love yourself and your gram, and the mission has been to get more followers than you. And last time we spoke about it, Billy wasn't close.
I reckon I should get different friends, hey? It's about if my friend has created an Instagram just for his dog to overtake me in Instagram, tell him to find better friends.
Boys will be boys.
That's it. Now, you have some results that have just come through breaking.
I do.
Chad's messaged you, hasn't he?
Chad's been in contact with me. So when we spoke last time, you had 5,264 followers.
Whew, pretty famous.
Billy the Iggy only had 5,157 followers.
Yeah, no one cares about a dog.
This morning, I can let you know, Josiah, that you've actually gone down in followers. You have 5,252, and that's not the worst news. Billy the Iggy has 5,291.
What's wrong? Why do people care about a dog more than me?
Billy's done it. Billy has got more followers than you, Josiah. And now, as Chad said, Billy can end his career right here and then. He's decided that he can shut down the Instagram page.
All right, we'll shut down the Instagram page, Chad. You've heard it. And I might take Billy for a little trip to the vet for a little
needle. I think you've been knocking Billy too much, so maybe that's why you're going down.
Yeah, people are angry at me. Well, good on you guys. I'm so, so happy for you. Couldn't be more thrilled if I tried.
I know you're annoyed.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Herbie, how's this? Yesterday in just outside of Geelong, there was a cow attack.
Like moo cow?
Yeah, like that sort of cow. Attacked two girls. I will start by saying they're okay. Well, they're not great, but they're in hospital, but they're not dead, which is good news.
Okay, thanks.
A woman is in a serious but stable condition. The poor girl suffered a couple of head, pelvic and arm injuries. She was taken to Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne. She's going to be okay. But you don't often hear of cows, you know, stampeding. It's not like we're at running of the bulls.
You don't hear of a cow attack often.
No, so it got me thinking, 13, 12, 16 is the number, Goulburn Valley. Have you been injured by an animal? Cows in particular, we're very famous for our cows right here in the GV. So I thought there might be a few stories out there. Let's open it up this morning. Now, you have got a couple of famous stories which you've told me off air, which I feel like the Goulburn Valley needs to hear about animals that have hurt you.
I don't know what it is with me and animals, but I don't have a good past with them, I should say. So a couple of years ago when I was living in Wagga, I got bitten by a spider. And turned out it was a white tail, so ended up going to hospital, spending the night there, and my arm blew up. Like, the skin was bubbly to the point. It was disgusting.
I've seen the photos. Yeah. Thinking of it now makes my stomach
turn. The worst was I woke up thinking I'd been bitten by something, but Dad just reassured me that I just react like he does. And he goes, don't worry. And then 24 hours later, I went to hospital. They're like, why have you taken so long to come here? Like, this is serious. But that was probably more the most serious injury I've had from an animal. The next one is more the most unbelievable.
Of course you have.
So I was visiting my dad's cousins. They actually live in Snowtown in South Australia, famous for other reasons than when I went there.
The animals are the least of your worries there.
So we went there when I was a little girl, and I remember I used to love playing with the chickens, like go... I'm being with the chickens. I don't know why. I just had a thing for chickens back in the day. Anyway, a few days later, I kept scratching my head and everything. It was like, something's wrong. And it wasn't until my auntie, she checked my hair, I got fleas from the chicken.
I love that kids go to school.
Get
nits from their thing. Herbie gets fleas from chickens.
Fleas from chooks. She's like, oh, boy, we're going to have to fix that.
13, 12, 16, have you had an animal injury? I once put this is kind of my own fault, this one. There was a cockatoo, and I always wanted to play with a cockatoo, so stuck my finger straight in the cage. You don't reckon it tried to chop my finger off? Couldn't get it out of its mouth quick enough.
Never mess with a cockatoo.
Drew blood. It was really bad for a while there. Kept the tip of my finger, thank goodness. But love the taste of it as well. 13, 12, 16, Goulburn Valley. Have you got a story? Andy's in Benalla. What happened to you, mate?
When I was quite young, I think I was probably about 12 or 13, my brothers and I decided we'd go and attempt to ride bareback on the neighbour's horse. And I jumped from the wire fence onto its back. It bucked me off and kicked me right in the testicle. Oh, yeah. That's the sound I made, actually.
How old are you now, Andy?
39, mate.
Yeah, got kids?
2 kids, thankfully.
Oh, okay, it works.
And did you ever get back on a horse there, Andy?
Actually, to be honest, I've never ridden a horse since.
Wow.
That's what I just thought. I never realised that, but maybe I need to get back on that horse, eh?
Get back on it, Andy. Appreciate your call. We just received a message on the Hit Goulburn Valley Facebook page as well. Herb's from Sarah. She said she was at Vic Park Lake in Shepparton and a couple of geese charged at her and she tripped over trying to run away from them and sprained her ankle.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
I received a Instagram message, Herbie, just before I went to bed last night. Now I'm reading this one out nice and early because there's a bit of I'll call it language that I don't quite understand. Okay. In this message from a girl that I don't quite understand.
So first off, have you spoken to this person before?
Never. But this person, you know how on Instagram you have like regular likers of your photo? So when you put up an Instagram photo, they're guaranteed to like your photo.
Yeah. So she's one of them.
She's followed me for a while. And I think with my last radio station, she followed me around that time because I looked at who she's following and she follows my friends from there as well.
Okay. And so she's direct messaged you last night, looked into the old DMs.
Private message. And I don't know anything about this girl. Don't even know what she looks like. I'll show you a couple of photos first. Yeah, that's what she looks like. She's quite pretty.
Okay, she's for everyone playing at home. She looks like she's probably in her late 20s, blonde. She's an attractive female.
Yeah. Skinny, curvy.
Yeah.
Model, like hot.
Yeah, she looks good.
Anyway, she sends me a message. I love that she doesn't say, how are you? She just gets straight into it. Hey, so, ... I'm a high-class dominatrix.
Oh.
And I've been interviewed by, and she mentioned our radio station, the Hit Network in Perth. So I'm thinking, okay, she wants to come on our show, which she does, by the way. I've written an insane script about my life, the job, the clients, and my personal life. I've got big-name clients that I want to be a part of and reveal who they are, but I have faith in my story. I want you to reveal it. But yeah, if you ever want to interview me, let me know. I'm still private in my identity. It can't be revealed. Only you know who I am.
Whoa.
I'm like, I'm just about to go to sleep. I don't need this message right before.
Whoa.
This was at 9:49 p.m. last night.
Wild for a Sunday night. Now, there's a lot of questions regarding that one message that I have.
And I just felt like saying, how about just a how are you first?
Yeah, just, why beat around the bush when she's got something bigger on her mind?
She just wants to get the story out there, and I think she thinks we're a great platform. Like, I'd love to hear the story. Like, there's a lot of questions.
Well, would be the right platform for a dominatrix story to be shared and to be broken.
And I love that. I don't know her. We've never spoken a word in our lives, but just by looking at my photos on my Instagram, she feels comfortable enough to know that
You look like a master she's once known for.
Well, I don't even know what that is. All I think is, when I hear that, I just presume it's leather. That's all
dominatrix,
I know.
Dominatrix, yeah. I just go off what I've seen in movies and like Fifty Shades of Grey and what you hear of that.
That's what Fifty Shades is it?
Yeah.
That's what he's into.
Dominatrix, yes. Someone's your master. Dominate you.
Just so she want. Okay. I don't even want to ask
questions.
Know.
I don't. This is what I'm confused about. Does she want just us to share the story? Like we get her on and then let's call her client X is on now and she just tells what's happened to her. And
that's
then
what
we go.
I think.
And now let's go to Dua Lipa. Is that.
But we'd only be able to play her at this time because let's be honest, when the kids wake up, we're not playing that stuff on the radio.
Have you replied?
Yeah. I said, sounds good.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Look, a lot of people might be getting up as we speak and they've chosen toast for their breakfast. It's a safe option. It's a great option in my eyes. If you were to make some toast right now, what's your go-to spread?
Oh, we've got some great strawberry jam in the cupboard at home at the moment from the big strawberry up in Coonamoo. So,
yeah,
I think I'd go for some jam.
See, I'm just a stock standard Vegemite and butter kind of girl.
Yeah, that's a bit boring.
I love it, though, because I love the butter to Vegemite ratio. You've got to get it right.
I can't get it right, so I have no butter. We're going into so much detail here. When I go home and Mum makes jam, so she puts the butter on it, and it's delicious because she can get the ratio right. For some reason, I can't do it, so I just go no butter.
It's a mother's touch, you
it
need.
It is, yeah.
It's a hard thing, but it's something that we all try to execute over our lives, and that is the perfect piece of toast. And for many, they like to go by the bread. Like some people jump down the old gluten-free bread. That's not for me. I'm a sourdough kind of girl. I think they might actually be gluten-free sourdough. I don't know. I'm not one of those.
We're learning so much about each other because I'm one of those, the seeds, you know, the multi-seeds
or whatever.
Yeah, multigrain, that's the one.
Yeah, you like them?
Breaks down in your stomach a bit better, according to a nutritionist on what's read about. It's probably not true.
But for me, I wouldn't spend that much on a loaf of bread. If I was really going to splurge, it'd be if I'd go to a market and they were selling fresh bread there, and maybe I'd spend, this is on a real good day, $7 for a loaf.
That's got to be really good bread, though.
Do you know what I mean? You're at a market, you're getting the vibe, and so that's why you spend that kind of money.
Yeah, one of those special bakeries they have. One of my best mates has a bakery in Sydney, and my goodness, I'd pay $50 for his bread. Mm-hmm. It is so good.
It is all about the bread that you put in the toaster, and you want it to come out perfect. And you and I, we're not spending that much money. We're literally putting a $10 limit on this. Some people are putting a $380 tag price.
Surely not.
Surely so.
What are you eating? Gold?
Well, that's what I would imagine, that's what you're eating. But no, you're just eating bread in a special toaster. So it's a sleek device from a Japanese brand, Belmuda, and it uses steam instead of radiation to make the toast. It's simply called the Toaster, real original with the name there, and it will cost you $380 on Amazon, and then if you want to get it to your door, $22 postage. So you're looking at over $400 for the perfect piece of toast.
See, I actually don't mind this.
You would spend this?
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it because I say that I'm one of those ones that opens the microwave early and grandma goes, wait, give it 30 seconds till afterwards, otherwise it'll do bad things to you. Whereas if this stuff cancels the radiation out, I don't mind putting my hand in my pocket and paying a bit extra.
$400? Paying a bit extra?
I mean,
you can go down to Kmart and get one for $20.
Yeah, and you also get radiation. What if you pay $400? Not only do you get to enjoy your toast, but you also know you're eating healthy toast.
Yeah, but radiation isn't the baddest thing on earth.
That's true.
Isn't it Superman, you see?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I need it. Sorry, Grandma.
$400. $400 on a piece of toast.
And that's so steamed.
Steam instead of using actual just a toaster.
I mean, toast is toast, isn't it, at the end of the day?
It is toast. I mean, would you pay $400?
No, but I would buy it as a present for someone like Morgan's birthday, my roommate.
Oh, so you get to use it.
So I get to use it, yeah. Reverse present.
Happy birthday, Morgs.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Robert Pattinson. Now, he's the next Batman.
He was known as Edward Cullen in the Twilight series as well.
I'm Batman. He's a bit of a freak, let's be honest.
Oh, he's got something to him.
Do you, like, I could see him being the main character in 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, easily. Easily. He's got charm about him. He's good looking, but he's also mysterious.
I find that very... I don't know why girls find him hot or charming, because I find him creepy. And I always have since the Twilight days.
Yeah, but that's fine, because you don't need to find him attractive.
Well, I was always Team Taylor in Twilight, but that's a story for another time, because Robert Pattinson's been locked down, obviously with isolation in London, where he's been filming Batman in an Airbnb, and things have gotten to his head a little bit, because he started chucking up online his recipes about what he eats with his diet in the lead-up to Batman. Now, obviously, you're picturing like Chris Hemsworth-type diet, broccoli, chicken, cauliflower, yeah, working
protein,
out.
Protein. Drinking eggs for breakfast.
Not for weirdo Robert Pattinson. And this explains why he is a bit of a creep. He microwaves penne, as in pasta, together with processed cheese, sugar. He then puts cornflakes on it.
Hang on a second.
Sauce, puts it in foil wrapper. He then puts it in the microwave, which then actually blew up on camera because you don't put foil in the microwave.
I'm confused about all this. Are you sure he's doing this because he's training for a movie, or is he maybe consume something he shouldn't, that's given him the...
Yeah, he's got the munchies.
The munchies.
That is a very munchy diet, isn't it?
It's definitely not one for Batman. Maybe someone who thinks they're Batman.
I mean, if this is his diet for the movie, yeah. You'd think the next movie is going to be absolutely wild.
Like, oh, I hope there's no body shots.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's like, maybe the next Batman movie is going to be like relatable Batman.
An everyday Joe Blow Batman.
Dad bod.
Yeah, dad bod Batman.
It got me thinking, though, he's not the only weirdo out there with an insane diet, because I was just with my grandparents on Mother's Day last week, and Granddad started telling us, I thought it was my dad, and I texted Dad, I said, what was that diet you had last night? And he goes, no, that was Granddad. He used to have kippers or sardines, listen to this, on toast, with anchovy paste.
Jeepers.
With choco and cheese melted on top.
See, that's a lot of salt to start with. If you just had a sardine on toast, I could see that being somewhat delicious to some people.
Or I don't mind an anchovy by itself.
But, like, all together, there's something wrong going on there.
Kippers, sardines on toast with choco and cheese. I mean, the only thing that my granddad and this guy got similar, they're both from England, so I don't know if that's something that we're pointing towards the English people here a little bit.
Is your dad ever been Batman?
No. Granddad, yeah. I mean, they are both English, which probably explains by their diets why none of them have any teeth.
You can't say that.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
A fact a day keeps the doctor away, or at least that's what we hope at the moment. And this one's quite interesting because it sort of makes me want to go there after reading this fact. The McDonald's in Sedona, Arizona is the only one in the world with a turquoise arches instead of golden ones.
Why?
So the colour was thought to be a better fit for the reddish desert surroundings.
Gosh, surely not.
Look, I'm reading the fact. I haven't been there, but I told you, I want to go there now.
You know the reason fast food, here's a fact for you, all fast food restaurants, they're all red.
Yeah.
Makes you hungry.
Yeah, well, supposedly it's the colour that makes
you. When I see red stuff, I don't often think hungry, but yeah, sure. Although, look at my coffee cup I'm drinking from now.
And that's why you filled it up just for, because you're hungry.
Yeah, it's red. There you go.
Interesting one.
Get a load of this one. Do you know any identical twins?
Yeah.
So if they had kids, they're not cousins, they're genetically siblings. That's wild to think about.
Wait. If they had kids, like, so if the twins...
both had kids separately to two other partners, obviously if you or brother has a kid and you have a kid,
yeah,
they're
cousins.
Yeah. Whereas if it was your brother who's an identical twin, they're actually going to be brothers, all brothers and sisters, genetically, not cousins. That's wild.
That one makes me think. I don't know about that.
Because look at this. Cousins whose parents are identical twins share 25% of the same DNA instead of what usually you only share 12.5.
So what if twins hooked up with twins and then had kids?
Well, you may as well live in Tasmania.
And this one is interesting because I just wouldn't have picked it. According to the Centre for Retail Research, cheese is the most commonly shoplifted food in the world.
Wow.
Cheese. Oh,
it is expensive.
Yeah, but if you're going for staples, cheese isn't up there. Surely you got your bread and milk first.
Yeah, good point.
Cheese.
Yeah, the things you need to survive. I swear when you watch those videos of people getting caught shoplifting, it's like they're stealing like chocolate and stuff. You're like,
yeah.
I get you doing it tough. Yeah, get your bread and your milk. Get some
your
eggs.
Get staples first.
get some baked beans.
Maybe get some greens if you're trying to be healthy. But I don't know, if you're wanting to get cheese.
I mean, it is expensive. If it's a really nice brie cheese,
like
that is
a blue. Oh,
yeah.
Cheese can be expensive. But again, I don't think I'd be stealing it anytime soon.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
I know that this is a nightmare. And for one man over in China, he's had to go through this, but in a very roundabout way of a lady trapping him in a relationship. So he is married. He's having, in his eyes, a lovely relationship with his wife. She's expecting twins.
Congratulations.
Can't wait. And anyway, she has her twins. And it's just part of their how they register children over there. After you have your kid, then they get the birth certificate. And they also do some DNA tests. It's just part of what goes on in China.
It's a good thing because a lot of kids get mixed up at birth, me included. Yes. I don't think my parents are my parents, that's for sure.
Hopefully they're not listening because they will not like that comment from you. But anyway, this procedure was done and the man was then left shocked because his twins didn't turn out to be his twins. Only one of the twins is his, while the other one belongs to another man.
No way.
Yep.
No way.
This is...
impossible.
A 1 in 10 million odds of happening.
Hang on, let's break this one down a little bit. So she's obviously got with a husband, then she's got with the other bloke within a pretty short period.
Short time. So they wouldn't be... which one's the twins? They're not the identical twins. They're the ones... because if identical are in the same egg, the other ones are two that grow separately. So first the mother needs to produce two eggs instead of one in the same month. And then she also has to have intercourse with two men in a really short space of time to make it possible.
And both times she's... like, a lot of people out there have problems with fertility.
Not an issue
for this girl. Mm-hmm.
Twins being born with different fathers is an extremely rare occurrence, but it does happen.
In Australia, that story would get about and people would be like, you know, that's crazy, whatever. In China, is she still alive?
I mean, that and COVID.
To make sure she doesn't go to a wet market.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Yesterday, Victorians woke up to some great news from our Premier, Daniel Andrews, because we know heading into the weekend that restrictions had been lifted a little bit where we could see up to five people. And that was really the gist of it, because you looked at other states, New South Wales especially, and they were having like some pubs and restaurants were opening.
I spoke to my parents. They went out for Thai the other night and got to sit in at the Thai restaurant.
Crazy!
And they were like, and they went out for bacon and egg and they couldn't even sit down because obviously there were so many people, the rules. So they could still get takeaways. Nothing changed there, but they're like sitting down. You just, is if when it happens, it feels weird.
It's a treat, yeah, for sure. There's one pub in Sydney that's got a 4,000 people wait list now.
Wow.
Because people are that keen to get back into our pubs and restaurants. And look, I am too. On Saturday, I was thinking, geez, it would be great to go to some of the local pubs across the Golden Valley to explore a bit more, because I've only moved here in isolation.
I do miss going for a coffee and a bacon egg roll on a Saturday morning, sitting in a cafe and having a chat with someone.
Exactly. Looking around and just people watching, one of my favourite pastimes. And so we finally got the confirmation from Dan Andrews that this will be happening for Victoria later on. So from June 1st, cafes and restaurants, pubs, they will open to 20 customers at a time per enclosed space.
Which is better than New South Wales. They've doubled it.
It is better. But it all depends on how big your place is as well. That goes off square metres of your area. From June 22nd, that 20 people could increase up to 50 people, which is great. And then during the second half of July, up to 100 people.
Which almost feels like back to normal.
It does indeed. I mean, from going from zero to 100, boom.
Real quick.
It'd be the biggest party happening ever in 2020.
And so these June 1st, so what's today, the 18th of May?
It's pretty soon. You've got like 2 weeks.
Yeah, which is exciting. And he did say at the end, though, as long as there's no outbreaks and whatnot.
There's always going to be reviews going back to say if there's crazy outbreaks, then we'll have to be restrained again. So this is where we have to take it upon ourselves and act cautious when we are out in public and just make sure you do actually keep the distance, because when you get a bit of room to move, I think people abuse it a bit. You see photos coming out from some of the beaches, like your Bondi Beach in Sydney, and you go, people, just relax a bit. Yes, you've got some space, but pull back.
Do you know what's wild? I was in Yarrawonga on Saturday, went for a swim, and I was thinking to myself, I was with my roommate Morgan, and we thought we could just cross the bridge into Moyla and sit down at a cafe.
Isn't it?
We're here. And I was thinking I had had a coffee and some lunch at Hard Luck Takeaway in Yarrawonga. But I thought if these guys here, their cafe was 200 metres further up the road, you could actually be sitting down. It's actually crazy that you're so close that you can't do that.
So close, but yet so far. It needs to be those essential reasons as well. You can't just be travelling free willy.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.